Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Superintendents Unplugged, In Depth with Davis, the podcast where we'll dive deep into the world of educational leadership. I'm your host, Addison Davis, and I'm thrilled to have you join me as we embark on the inspiring journey together. As a superintendent once myself, I understand the challenges and complexities that come with leading a school district. But what I've come to realize is that there's abundance of amazing work being done by superintendents all across our country. This podcast is a platform to shine a spotlight on their incredible accomplishments and innovative approaches. Each episode will bring you exclusive interviews and superintendents from various districts across our country, both big and small, urban and rural, as they share their personal stories, triumphs, and even their moments of vulnerability. We will explore the strategies they employ to tackle the ever-evolving landscape of education, from fostering equity and inclusivity to embracing technology and preparing students for their future. But this podcast isn't just about showcasing success. It's about fostering a community of educational leaders who can learn from one another, share their experiences, and collectively navigate the complexities of our role. We'll discuss the tough topics as well, the difficult decisions, and the innovative solutions that are transforming education for the better. So while you're an educator, a parent, a student, are simply someone who's passionate about education, this podcast is for you. Superintendents Unplugged is your behind-the-scenes pass to the world of educational leadership, where we uncover the stories that inspire, motivate, and empower every one of us. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, and entertained as we embark on this incredible journey together. I can't wait to introduce you to the remarkable superintendents who are changing the educational landscape one district at a time. Welcome to another episode of Superintendents Unplugged, In Depth with Davis. I'm your host, Addison Davis, here with the 2024 Superintendent of the Year for AASA. We have Joe Gothard. Joe, thank you so very much for being with us today. Really, it's great to have you, sir.
Thanks, Addison. Good to see you, and excited to have a chat about leadership.
You know, as we talk about, you know, I just got to ask, what does it feel to be, you know, there's 15,000 school districts across this nation, right? You were selected as the AASA Superintendent of the Year. What does that mean?
Well, I remember this day really well. I was honored to be the Minnesota Superintendent of the Year.
Which is how many school districts in Minnesota?
About 400.
400. So all those watching, one out of 400, you're the guy.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and it's really peers that support you and endorse you. So it's really an honor to have a recognition from peers. But I was driving to visit a school one day, and my phone rang. This is after, you know, in the winter. And it was AASA saying, hey, we want to let you know that you've been named a finalist.
Finalist.
And I had no idea. I didn't know when you were the state winner of the year that you were kind of automatically
put in. Yeah, you're putting in a pool. You and 15,000 others, right?
So that was a little bit, you know, and I had to go to Washington and meet the other finalists and do kind of a, and,
cool.
You know, it was great, a great experience. But the day of, in that February, two things happened on that day. The first thing happened is that in that morning, I got a call from the Madison Metropolitan School Board saying, we'd like to offer you the superintendent position. Same day. My wife was there. I said yes. 3:30 that afternoon, I was named the National Superintendent of the Year. So I had to go back to St. Paul, to my community, receiving an award and saying goodbye at the same time.
It was
surreal. And, you know, for me, it was quite an honor and a very numbing experience going through it. Yeah. You know, you don't expect your name to be called, and it was. But again, I stand on the shoulders of so many. Yeah. So it made me reflect on, you know, people who were part of my childhood, people who gave me my first job as a teacher, hired me as a head coach, you know, all those people came through my mind and how much appreciation I have for them making me who I am today.
Yeah, I mean, what a fascinating story. I didn't know all those collided and braided in the same day. You know, what about the emotions that just came through? And for those of y'all who do not know, you know, Joe was an efficient, effective superintendent, you know, 4 years before transitioning to St. Paul. Was in St. Paul for 7 years. Mike did really cool things, urban school district, you know, part of the Council of Great City Schools. But you got a chance to come home. You know, how rewarding to be acknowledged as the National Superintendent of the Year and a chance to come home.
You know, talk about that emotion, because everyone loves a hometown hero.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it starts in 2012 when we had I was on the superintendent leadership team. I was an assistant superintendent there, had worked for 20 years in Madison from there, as you said, and I applied for the job and didn't get it. And I look at it now and it's the best thing that ever happened to me. You know, it forced me to spread
hard, right?
Hard. Yes and no. Yeah. I mean, I have a belief in leadership that if something doesn't go your way, and I talk about this often, because I think people look at someone who's a national superintendent of the year and they think that everything's a yes.
And just all flows together.
That isn't the case. The number of times I've been told no have been numerous.
Sure.
And some of them are public, some of them are private. And you learn something. I've learned something each time. And you have two choices when faced with a no. And it's you can either point the finger and blame others, throw people under the bus, or you can look inward. What can I learn from this? So in 2012, I learned a lot. So much so that I went to a new state and learned how to be a first-time superintendent in a new place, a district I'd never stepped foot in before.
Left home and moved out of state.
Kids were 16, 13, and 10. And again, it was a wonderful opportunity. True story in that, things were going really well in that district, Burnsville, Eakin Savage, ISD 191. I saw what was happening in St. Paul, and I thought, there's no way I'm applying for that job. Coincidentally, we were in New Orleans for ASA, and Gary Ray from the search firm caught me here at the convention center, and you know, I applied for the job from New Orleans.
Well, you know what? We all can blame Gary for a lot, because you know Gary was part of mine in Hillsboro as well. So, but it did cool things. The transition, right? What a successful process of, you know what? It just wasn't, you know, not now. You know, and then transition to move out of state. You've moved three times, right? Three superintendencies, all uber successful. You know, what is it? We see a lot that want to stay in, and I get it. People want to be comfortable. They want to stay where they grew up. They want to stay in the infrastructure they know. What's the benefit of being able to make the move to three different areas to be able to grow as a leader? And because that could also be hard.
Yeah, I think that, you know, experience is everything, right? So to go through the paces of what a year is like in an urban district through a pandemic, through a teacher strike, through the tragic death of a board president, through the murder of George Floyd 9 miles from our district. I mean, you know, battle tested doesn't even do it right. And I think my success was because I allowed others space, time, healing at times. We continue to put children first. We continue to do whatever it took to make sure that our children were supported, that our staff was supported. And those were decisions that there wasn't a book to do it right.
Right.
You have to rely on those around you and rely on the community. And I think that experience, you know, coming later, 2020, is one that will be an unfortunate gift forever.
Sure.
When you can go through, you know, those kinds of experiences as a school community, there's nothing that prepares you for that,
right.
But it stays with you forever as well.
Absolutely.
So I think that today, what some people might think is a crisis isn't always a crisis. And sometimes it's communication. Sometimes it's connecting the right people. Sometimes it's just listening. And I don't think we do that enough. I think in this day and age, we are a text away or a tweet away, you know, from reacting in a way that isn't always productive. And I think, you know, slowing down sometimes, it's really hard to, but listening to one another, trying to understand, gain perspective. I had to do that in a new state, in new districts,
right,
as part of a transition. So even though I'm back in Madison, it's home, I know a lot of people, I'm still trying to do that same thing.
Right.
There's a new Madison that I have to learn.
That's right. Love it. I mean, transitioning into those three school districts, we talked about earlier, new community, new delegations, new legislation, new leaders, you know, a historical focus, and being able to bring all those together and be careful, be thoughtful, be engaging. You've empowered so many leaders, so many teachers to do cool things in all three locations. And
it's been a great journey. When I got the Burnsville job in 2013, there were two things I said to the board before they hired me. I was heading out to interview with another district, and I said, if you hire me here, we're going to change the grade configurations of our school. We were K-6, 7-9 junior high, and a 10-12 high school. I said, we're going to be a K-5, 6-8, you know, 9-12 standard district. Said, the other thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about and address diversity in our district. Because through the interview process, I could sense there was both an opportunity, but also some potential harm that was being done. So I wanted them to know who, if they hired me, who they were going to get. I wanted to be myself. And, you know, I got the job and really happy 4 years there and had a big community referendum. We changed the grade configuration. We pathways, career pathways in our curriculum and addressed diversity in a way that hadn't been addressed. We got community members and staff together who had been isolated from one another, whether it was race or religion or identity. And we brought people together and created a culture of, if we're an inclusive, if we say we're about inclusivity, we've got to be together as a staff and community.
That's awesome. And 360 accountability has to happen as we move forward. The one thing you spoke about, and for listeners, you listen to what Doc talks about. And, you know, going into a superintendency before taking the role, being providing clarity about who you are and what you aspire to do, whether that be in one-on-ones with the board before they hire you. And then that allows them to understand who you are so they don't get sticker shock. For those going in, how important is it to say, you know what, this is who I am. These are my core values. And this is what I want to accomplish after looking at your entire district.
And there's really a couple different approaches to it. As a first-time person interviewing, the advice I give to everyone is be careful applying for a job.
That's right.
Don't because you might, because you might get it. You know, so you know how aspiring leaders are hungry to get in, but you know, make sure you're prepared. Do your homework. Make sure that you're researching the district. Know that they're going to research you and look for that match. That match is really important. So I think that first one is all about making sure that they know, the board and community know who you are, so there aren't surprises later on. As you're an established leader, make sure that what you've done in the past is congruent or visible to the community you might be going into, and make adjustments as you go. So talk in your interview as a second or third time superintendent about what went well and what didn't. I think it's okay to share with them where you went wrong, what you learned from it. So I think those are a couple different approaches. Don't be afraid to talk about, you know, where things haven't gone well and what you've learned from it, but also make sure they know who you are, what they are going to hire in an executive leader.
Right. Awesome. I mean, you said, we talk about not just applying for every job, the right job. Find that match. Find what your skills are related to what you can bring for the lift, and being able to apply for the right job, and also understand the community, the board, their aspirations, going in and doing your homework. I think that's grateful. As we transition over, you know, into the political landscape, because it's no longer that superintendents can just focus on instruction, the well-being, talent management, climate culture, operational side of it. The political side has now become more of a vertical that superintendents, whether they like it or not, have to kind of dive into. And what does that look like in the superintendents? I mean, because it's not only just showing up with your board, but what does it look like engaging the local delegation at a state level and a federal level from your perspective?
Yeah, my last two superintendents have been in very liberal cities, St. Paul and Madison. I mean, the heart of labor, liberalism, progressive politics. There's still a continuum. I mean, there's different beliefs of board members and constituents without a doubt. But I think my advice right now on March 7th, 2025, has been to everyone in my community too. We have to stay local. There is very little that we are going to be able to do that is going to influence decisions that are being made on the Hill right now. And as disappointing as that is, I know what I can control. I know what I have influence on, and that's 26,000 students. That's 4,500 staff. That's tens of thousands of parents and community members who love the Madison Metropolitan School District. So right now, that is where I'm focusing my influence. I'll continue to work with our partners at the state level, our national orgs, as much as possible. But right now, I've got to take care of our own. We have to stay strong together.
That's our commitment, right? And in this basis, as we look at, you know, funding sources may come in, funding sources may come out, working with local delegations are so important in that process, and just bringing clarity for the board about what our priorities are and then really driving that work. Yeah. That's great. So we also had a chance to do some cool things with the Council of Great City Schools. You know, what a great opportunity to listen, learn, and grow. Still get a chance to talk to a number of those superintendents and Ray and all those individuals?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, Addison, you were there with me. We were together. But the glimmer of hope that came out of the pandemic was we were on the screen once a week for a while. And we got to know each other in a way that will connect us forever. Some people call that trauma bonding, survival in some cases. I remember that the problems of practice that we were bringing were more complex than I think anyone can realize in the country of what it was like to lead the school districts we were leading during that time.
That's right. We were building the airplane while it was in the air. Yeah. It's unbelievable. And I say, well, I'm grateful for anyone that led prior to the pandemic because they went through their own particular issues. But in 2020 and you know, beyond, is probably the toughest time that I had the lead. And I know that we led together trying to figure out best practices, active engagement, sense of community, sense of belonging, resources, outreach, whatever it may be, to keep continuous momentum, instructional momentum, and intellectual momentum within our districts.
For me, though, it was also a great sense of humility that I built because I listened to what you all faced, many of you faced in your communities. I had one board meeting over the entire pandemic that people came and protested about mask wearing. It was at the very end. It was when they were kind of talking about
it's a blessing.
But I sat and talked with you all weekly, monthly, and heard what was happening at board meetings. And, you know, again, just a great sense of humility for, you know, what some of our colleagues had to face during that time. I certainly faced other challenges, but they weren't as intense and in your face as what you all did for 4 years.
I mean, we were having 12-hour board meetings. I know Alberto had a 29-hour board meeting, and I don't even know how that exists, you know, but it was a time that allowed us to, but also from the pro side of it, it revolutionized our work. It taught me elements, strategies, initiatives that I never knew that we could do. And, you know, we've always, you know, Alberto always says, the impossible is possible. And how do you create that space? How do you take the most ambitious strategies and drive them? And with that said, you've done that in three districts and done it with grace. You've done it with class and you've done it with persistence. I can't thank you enough for spending time with me today. You know, you are definitely and always will be a, you know, a role model for so many. And I get a chance to watch you do cool things, and not many people can say they've done it for the many years that you've done. You're probably one of the longest 10-year superintendents out there now, you know, and you continue to give your heart and do it in a graceful manner. So, Doc, thank you for being here today. I really appreciate it. Thanks for being a great leader.
Yep, you bet. You know, I'm an East Side kid from Madison who's never forgot who I am. And it helps me every day relate to the students and staff and community that I do.
I can see it. I mean, the culture that you've brought, I see it on social media. They love, they care, but you empower them. And that's exactly what you need. For those who are watching, pay attention to what Dr. Gothard does every single day, doing cool things for his kids in Madison, in Madison School District. Continue to see you for next time. I'm Madison Davis, your host, Superintendent's Unplugged, In-Depth with Davis. Look forward to seeing you in the classrooms.